Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Little walk down memory lane. Now Bruce Arians is no longer the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but he did get warned because he was jawing at players on the sidelines a couple weeks ago, like he was still the head coach. Still fallout from that Buccaneers battle against the New Orleans Saints. No Mike Evans on Sunday against the Packers. And as I say, Arians warned for his comments and for engaging with players during the game last week. We're going to get to Bucks Packers because that was your national game in the later window. However, it was still a grind for the Buccaneers. And honestly, other than the first half or the first couple of drives, the Packers ran into that Bucs defense and their offense dried up a little bit as well. But the fifth time that Brady and Rodgers have ever been in the same game on the same field at the same time. So obviously a marquee matchup. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. So here's the dealio, yo. We promise you that on the Sunday night into Monday morning, couple of things. We always get to every game. So if we do not get to your game this hour or your storyline that you're most interested in, your headline, we'll make sure you go back and check out the podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. We share it on both Twitter and Facebook every weekday morning. That way you can get back and hear about the games or the teams or the individuals that you most want to hear about. So this is our Sunday night crazy blitz through all the results, and we're still sifting through week three, and we do have Monday Night Football to come. The Cowboys and Cooper Rush against the 2-0 New York Giants. Will they be the third team to survive week three unscathed? Will they be the second team in the NFC East and the third team in the league to move to 3-0? Because that's it. There's only three left who haven't yet suffered a loss. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on, and here's capitalizing on our other promise, also on this Monday morning, we've got the poll up. It's our new thing. We kind of stumbled into it last week because I was blown away at the embarrassing finishes by a few teams and just some mortifying performances. And so we decided we would start a new poll. Every week at this time, who's waking up on this Monday feeling the most mortification? It's Monday mortification, if you will. We got such a great response with our poll on Twitter and Facebook, we decided we would make it a regular weekly feature, at least until you're bored with it. So on this Monday morning, who's feeling the most miserable mortification? I could do the alliteration all day long. Just stop me when you get tired of it. It doesn't matter because I'll keep doing it. We've given you four candidates in our poll on Twitter. We've also put the names out there on Facebook, and many of you are suggesting your own write-in team. So that's totally fine. That's kind of the idea. There's plenty of misery to go around. So if you got another idea, another team, it's really difficult to narrow it down to just four. It was about to be another miserable, mortified Monday for the Denver Broncos. And still, the offense has got work to do, let's be honest. but it always feels differently after a win. Kind of tends to sugarcoat or help you to swallow some of the negatives that you see on film after the fact. Niners and Broncos in Denver this time for Sunday Night Football. Remember, to start the year, the Broncos were in Seattle for Sunday Night Football. Jimmy Garoppolo, all I saw all week, how much extra money he's making because he's back in the starting lineup again. Yeah, that's kind of the idea behind a contract that is laden with incentives. And early on, he directs a quick 75-yard touchdown drive. Brandon Ayuk hauls in the 3-yard reception. Couple of big chunk plays there. And so he showed off what the offense can do with him directing. There's a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of experience. These guys know him. They're comfortable with him. Meanwhile, the Broncos can do a whole lot of nothing. They had as many 3-and-outs as they had points in the first half. So 3 points on a field goal, 3 3-and-outs. And this is home. Now remember, Nathaniel Hackett, as the head coach, has hired an assistant. His name's Jerry. Jerry is helping him with play calling. Week number 3, and Nathaniel Hackett needs some help with some play calling. So what exactly is Jerry's job?
I wanted to be sure that I was able to be an efficient play caller for Russell in the offense. And so we were able to bring Jerry in, and for the quick time kind of turnaround of getting him here, I thought he was spectacular. You know, he was up there. He was informing me whenever we potentially had fourth downs. And again, he's there because I typically want to be a little more aggressive, and he kind of held me back, especially that 4th and inches. I was very tempted to want to go for that.
It's like the voice in your head. You've got an angel and a devil, one on each shoulder. Is Jerry the angel or the devil on your shoulder?
The devil and Jerry.
It's the voice of Jerry. Oh my gosh. I mean, I can imagine they're having a field day, not a field goal. There was plenty of those. They're having a field day in Denver with this whole thing. It's after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So there really wasn't a whole lot of spark to the offense. I suppose you take points any way that you can possibly get them when they're hard to come by.
Wilson in there as the single back now, lined up 5 yards deep in the end zone. One wide receiver split to the left. Garoppolo under center, takes the snap, play fake, backing up, back of the end zone, nearly stepped out of the end zone, throws, and it's intercepted. It's picked off by Chubb, into the end zone. Touchdown.
Quarterback stepped out of the back of the end zone. It is a safety.
They'll say it's a safety that Garoppolo stepped on the end line first. So that'll end up saving the 49ers at least 4, maybe 5 points. Garoppolo was backpedaling and definitely with that right foot stepped on the back line of the end zone, then threw one up to Jeff Wilson, and Bradley Chubb went up high.
It is a safety.
Okay, I'm sorry. I love Ryan. He does a great job on Westwood One, Ryan Radke. But it's almost as if the official got tired of hearing him. It was like, it's a safety.
Bradley Chubb went up high.
It is a safety.
So, yes, it's a safety because Jimmy Garoppolo stepped out of the back of the end zone. The pressure was coming. It was coming. And after he had done his standard drop, he dropped a little more because there were 2 defensive linemen right up in his grill. And so you take the points however you can get them. But for a while there, it was 7-5. 7-5. I mean, there are plenty of baseball games that had more runs for each team on Sunday. It's after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So still no offense really into the fourth quarter. At this point, it's 10-5 when the Broncos are in do or die mode. At home, they're hearing boos again from the crowd. They're counting down the play clock, which I was actually listening for a while when I was getting ready for work to the Broncos radio network. And along with Dave Logan, who's the play-by-play voice, there is a female sideline reporter. Her name is Susan. I didn't hear her last name. But she talks about how they're being good fans for a while because they've dropped the whole counting down of the play clock, which clearly the Broncos don't want them doing at home. Anyway, Russ is able to kind of settle into a little bit of a rhythm. And if you're watching on TV or listening on the radio, maybe you heard them talk about this is more vintage Russ. There were some deep shots. There were some scrambles to extend plays. There was a scramble when the Red Sea parted in front of him to pick up a first down. And there was a healthy dose of the run game, which is what the Broncos want to do. They want to be able to mix it up and keep their defenses off balance.
Broncos will operate out of the eye. Extra offensive lineman in the game. Saubert, the tight end, goes in motion from left to right. Here's the snap. Handoff, Gordon, left side, into the end zone. Touchdown, Broncos. Melvin Gordon races in from 1 yard out. And with 4:10 remaining, the Broncos lead 11-10. A two-point try coming up.
I mean, that's the whole idea of when it's an ugly game or offenses are playing ugly, but you keep it within one score. If you can pull it together for one drive, it can make all the difference in the world. Now they have the lead. Can they get the lead to three?
Wilson takes the snap, back to pass, looking, fires over the middle, batted down, incomplete. So it remains an 11-10 game. The 49ers now would need just a field goal to take the lead. Javon Kinlaw able to swat that one away. And the Broncos on top by one.
Once again, Ryan Radke and Mike Golic on Westwood One. And there were opportunities for the Niners, but their last two chances, an interception from Jimmy Garoppolo and then a fumble by Jeff Wilson. And the Niners, as much as they had the lead for most of this game, nothing for their offense to get all excited about either. 1 of 10 on third down. 1 of 10, plus 3 turnovers in Denver. So the Broncos find what they need there in the late stages to get the victory and move to 2-1. But similar to, say, the Buccaneers, who we'll talk about coming up, their offense is barely doing enough. It's really more about the defense. There have been some special teams plays, and maybe if you're watching what they're doing at the end of this game, you think, okay, if they can find that rhythm, if Russell Wilson can look that comfortable with the various guys he's got around him, maybe there's some hope moving forward in the AFC West. But they can't keep playing like this because they might only beat the Raiders in their division. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So exactly how did the Broncos pull this one out?
We went in there, we knew we were going to have to be downhill. We knew that they were a very good defense, and we knew it was going to be just incremental. We knew we were going to have to check the ball down and get some yards after the catch. Those things weren't, you know, happening as well as we wanted them to, but we just kind of try to stay to the state of the plan. We want to be sure we protect the edges because those two rushers that they have are very good, and so we try to get as many people as we could on them. And, you know, the guys just stayed together.
Third quarter was a little shaky, but you know, at the end of the day, it's all about finding a way to win. And that fourth quarter drive, we found a way to, you know, get the ball in the end zone, and that's all that matters.
Cortland Sutton has become a major target for Russell Wilson, and there are others. They've got weapons. They've got guys who can run the ball. We saw them try to mix that up a little bit, and certainly guys who can get downfield. They've got plenty of options offensively, but so far, everything new. New coach, now a new assistant named Jerry. The devil on his shoulder, I'm not really sure. Maybe it's supposed to be the angel on his shoulder. Either way, the Broncos haven't yet found that rhythm for an extended period of time. And George Kittle, as much as the Niners lost this game themselves because they kind of ran dry there in the second half, what he really wants is for the defense to keep doing what they're doing.
Please keep doing that the whole season. I mean, when you have a defense like that, especially, like, we got to practice against them, so, like, we're getting good work against them. They come out, they, you know, bust their tails every single play. I mean, like, I think they had, like, one bad drive where they gave up one touchdown tonight, gave up 6 points, really, and then we gave up two to them, and they had a field goal. Like, they're playing really well, you know. D-line's playing well. Eric didn't play tonight, but, you know, they still played at a really high level. Linebackers continue to play at a high level. Flanagan came in for Aziz, and I thought he played really well. Our DBs are playing well. Like, as an offense, we have to put more than 10 points on the scoreboard.
Altogether, just a sloppy day. I think we had really one clean drive. Got points off of it, and other than that, the defense really, you know, kept us in that game. But just overall, just a sloppy day. We were just not in rhythm. We started off pretty good too. I felt like we were in a rhythm early, and then we kind of just got away from it, and I don't know. Things didn't go our way.
The NFC West it's strange. The Rams get a victory over the Cardinals in the desert on Sunday because that's what they do. They've won 11 of 12 against Arizona. But every other team in that division is 1-2. And I know it's going to be a war of attrition. And initially there are some changes there, right? The Niners thought they were going to have Trey Lance at quarterback. They can adjust back to Jimmy Garoppolo, but this is not the game plan. The Seahawks, well, they've got, say, a new quarterback in Geno Smith, but they've got a lot of new parts and new pieces. The Cardinals have a lot of new money for Kyler Murray, if that helps. It didn't on Sunday. And the Rams, as the Super Bowl champions, they obviously have a really stout defense. It's weird. So far, it feels like every team in that division has taken some turn in the twilight zone. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And you can't really figure out what's happening. Although I will say that's pretty much every team, at least in stretches, in the first month of the season. It really is a race to consistency. And some teams get there more quickly than others. For the Seahawks, I thought they were headed for their second win of the year against the Atlanta Falcons. This was actually a really good battle. It was a lot of fun to watch those two teams go back and forth. And early on in this game, Geno Smith was throwing darts. He was firing the ball in. He and DK Metcalf have come up with quite a nice connection. But Atlanta was able to really rely on Cordell Patterson. They actually had 179 total rushing yards, so controlling the ball a little more. And Cordero had 141 plus a score. The go-ahead touchdown for the Atlanta Falcons comes end of the third quarter. Drake London with a 14-yard touchdown grab, but really that was Cordero. He had a 40-yard run in there. He had another run that nearly went 20 yards. And so the Falcons take the lead at the end of the third quarter, and there are opportunities still for Seattle. They get the ball back with just over 5 minutes to go. They move it into Atlanta territory, but there's this massive sack on third down, huge. And this is one big change for the Atlanta Falcons. They're getting more pressure on opposing quarterbacks. We're seeing them with that defensive pressure. I think they have more sacks this year already than they had all of last year. The way that they're able to kind of force the issue has been impressive. In stretches, not all the time, but they're getting it. So they get this huge sack on third down. They push the Seahawks back 10 yards. And so at this point now, Geno Smith is looking for something, anything, to try to keep the line moving.
Fourth down and 18 at the 38. Snap, Smith drops back. Atlanta trying to get there. Here's Geno to his right. Gonna throw downfield, intercepted. Richie Grant's got this one. 15, slides down, 19-yard line. Richie Grant comes up with his first career interception.
How about that? Falcons radio with 90 seconds to go. Richie Grant able to preserve the first win of the year for Marcus Mariota, Arthur Smith, and the Falcons.
Oh, huge, huge. You know, to start 0-2 is always tough. You kind of dig yourself in a little bit of a hole. But it says a lot about our guys, their ability to bounce back, and that was a huge win for us.
Hats off to them. It's a resilient group, and we were out here all week, and we're able to get that win. It was a really, really great effort by our players and staff, and really our whole football staff. I want to thank them, and I'm not going to sit here and name every single person, but there's a lot that went into this trip, and very grateful.
So Falcons leave the Pacific Northwest with their first victory of the year. They weren't the only team to pick up their first win of the year. In fact, in their own division, the Panthers finally get off the schneid. And Baker Mayfield's Panthers, Matt Rhule's Panthers, they snap a 9-game losing skid and pick up a win. And there were others, though not the Raiders. The Raiders and the Titans were in a battle between 0-4 teams. And it was the Titans that led from wire to wire in that one. So we're going to cram in as much as we can between now and the top of the hour. But we promised you Bucks and Packers in all of its glory from Sunday afternoon. Which team is waking up on Monday with the most misery and mortification? You can take that poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. I just got this tweet. I'd like to write in my own team, the Washington Commanders. I have to tell you these stats again if you didn't see the finished product. The Eagles sacked Carson Wentz 9 times. They hit him another 17 times. So 17 recorded QB hits. And there's also a takeaway in there. Just overwhelming. And yes, the Eagles move to 3-0. But are they the best team in the NFL? That's also a tough question after week three. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lauren.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It is third down and goal from the one. 18 seconds left. Brady in the shotgun set now. No timeouts. Gage, Darlin, and Perriman. Receivers to the right. Brady takes the snap. Looks, dumps the ball. Caught! Is it caught?
Yeah, it's caught ball by Gage. And he took a big shot. He's a little slow getting up.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Really,
he took a
job.
Violent shot.
He did.
Here are the Buccaneers to the line of scrimmage. Slot left, slot right. Motion by Gage, snap to Brady. Brady looking, waiting, scrambles right, throws end zone, tipped up into the air. It is incomplete.
Over.
It is incomplete. Devondre Campbell tipped it up into the air in the right side of the end zone. And there is your dagger. The Packers defense finally gets the stop. Wow. What dramatics. Turning back. The best to ever do it. And seal this win for the Green Bay Packers. Wow.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Initially, the Packers were locked in on offense. And then after an Aaron Jones fumble near the goal line, that was their first giveaway. It seemed like then they never quite found that rhythm again, but they did build a lead initially. And because the Bucs have also scuffled on offense mightily going back to the beginning of the season, now they have three offensive touchdowns. And that includes the one that you heard to Russell Gage with 14 seconds to go against the Packers at home on Sunday afternoon. So this was yet another dogfight because the Buccaneers really can't get a whole lot going on offense. And if they do one drive, well, then it disappears on the next drive. So the Packers were up most of this game. Actually, the Packers were up all of this game, right? Because that failed two-point conversion. Gene Deckerhoff had the call of the touchdown on Bucs radio, and then Wayne Larrivee and company on Packers radio. It's the part that has to drive you nuts if you're Brady or if you're a coach is that they barely avoid a delay of game penalty on the touchdown. But then on the two-point conversion, they're up close. They have a lot of different options. And they get a delay of game penalty on that snap and have to back up 5 yards, which makes it infinitely more challenging. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Aaron Rodgers, couple of touchdowns, both of them coming early, 255 yards, and then an interception. And honestly, the Packers offense, as they say, kind of dissipated there in the second half, but they get the win on the road and move to 2-1.
It is week three. Feels good, for sure. Could be some tiebreaker stuff down the line when you beat a team like this, but it's just week three. With the Bears won and the Vikings won, so there's 3-2-1 teams in the NFC North.
It was a great, great win for us. Obviously, there's a lot of things that we need to clean up, but I think anytime you hold a team like that to 12 points, you got a chance at winning.
And the Buccaneers were without Mike Evans because he was suspended. No Julio Jones. We found out before the game that he actually has, I think it's a sprained MCL, but he's out for an extended period of time. They're still dealing with the injuries to Chris Godwin and others. And so Russell Gage, step on up. Cole Beasley. Did you hear the story? And I know that it was on the broadcast of this game on Fox, but it was also out there on social last week that Cole Beasley sent a DM to Tom Brady to say, hey, I'm available if you need a receiver. Ew. Well, I only say ooh because of how Aaron Andrews phrased it, that Cole Beasley slid into Tom Brady's DMs, and that creeps me out. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, the way she phrased it made me say ooh. But how about that? Cole Beasley, opportunistic. And there he is in the first quarter catching passes. But yeah, the Bucs are down a few guys. And so they could say, well, that's one of the reasons why offense is a little harder to come by. But come on, we've seen this now for three games in which they've had a grand total of one offensive touchdown each time out.
I think you'd always, you know, rather play with your with the guys that are, you know, your top players on your team. But they're not, you know, they're not playing with a lot of their top guys either. So the guys went in there, they fought hard. We just... Just too many mistakes. Even if, you know, I don't know, it looked to me we had a chance to make a lot of plays and we didn't. Doesn't matter really. You know, the guys that were in there, some of the guys did a great job with their opportunities, and we just got to keep doing it. So we're 2-1. There's a lot of football left. We'll keep working at it. And doesn't get easier next week going up against the Chiefs. But, you know, no one feels sorry for us, nor should we. We just got to go back to work.
You really don't take any positives out of a loss, but you grow from it. We can be tough and we can fight, but that's not going to win us the ball game. We got to be cleaner.
Todd Bowles, no positives to take out of this at all. All right, we can be tough, we can fight, but that doesn't count for a W in the standings.
Any positives.
The lack of offense for the Bucs catching up with them in this one against Green Bay. So, yes, Aaron Rodgers points out, three of the teams in the NFC North are now at 2-1. The Vikings, they have a late rally against the Lions. And I asked this question on Twitter, whether or not anybody, just anybody, one person in the crowd, anybody in the peanut gallery, giving Kirk Cousins a little bit of credit for the rally against the Lions. You'll hear that coming up. And the Bears in a last second win against the Texans. Oh, but boy, Justin Fields, the numbers, the performance, the offense. But I mean, it was rough. So who's suffering from the most Monday mortification? You can check out that poll on Twitter, A Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Line, right to left for the Houston Texans with 1:16 to go, clock running. Fourth quarter at Soldier, tied at 20, snap back to Mills. Passes tip, oh! Intercepted in the hands of Roquan Smith. Tripped up by Mills at the 12. Do a dance, baby, do a dance. The tip pass into the hands of Roquan Smith on the near side. On the 31st pass attempt of the day, it's picked off. Bears defense turns him over. Trenton Gill, the rookie holder, awaits the snap. Sends it over.
Good jump.
Snap down. Kick up by Cairo Santos. It is good for the win. Time expires, 23-20 Bears. Cairo Santos, a chip shot from 30, gets it done, but only because of Roquan Smith swiping that tip pass from Angelo Blackson, returning it and setting up shop for the Bears.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Jeff Joniak on Bears Radio, and yes, Roquan Smith with the interception. Just over a minute to go against the Texans at Soldier Field, and it sets up Cairo Santos for that 30-yard walk-off kick. But if you know anything about this game at all, other than the fact that the Bears won, you know, you need to know that Khalil Herbert had 20 carries for 157 yards and a pair of touchdowns. This was the Khalil Herbert game. Let's hope a star is born, because I say it all the time, the Bears desperately need to be able to establish the run. So for them to get the win is huge, but there are still a lot of questions and a lot of criticisms of Justin Fields. 8 of 17, 106 yards. I mean, Khalil Herbert had more yards than he did. He had a couple of interceptions, and he was sacked 5 times.
I just think that is when you're working with a young quarterback in a new offense, I think that the people around him have to be solid and have to be good. So that's important for us, meaning that the protection has to be good, the run game has to be good, the defense has to be really good, okay? And special teams, we got to be awesome.
That's Matt Eberflus protecting his young QB. But Justin Fields has definitely struggled, even as they try to learn a new system. I feel like Matt is saying the same as what we heard from Robert Saleh over and over and over again in Zach Wilson's first season. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So the Bears moved to 2-1. We know the Packers were at 2-1. It was the Vikings hosting the Lions on Sunday, and early on, this is actually a really competitive game. It was tied at 14 at halftime. Adam Thielen with his first TD. Dalvin Cook was running all over the place, but then he devolved into the second half. Dalvin Cook with a fumble, and he also leaves the game with a shoulder injury late in the third quarter on that very same play. And so Detroit takes a 10-point lead, a 10-point lead in this one. Jamal Williams with a 13-yard touchdown rush puts Detroit up. Are you ready? 24-14 after three quarters. Now, I know this is in Minneapolis, but come on, Detroit. Got to have a little heart. Got to have a little toughness. Early in the fourth quarter, Minnesota gets a quick drive. I think Kirk Cousins deserves some of the credit for directing this drive. Alexander Mattison caps it with a 6-yard score, and they're within a couple of points. So then here's where the drama kind of devolves for Detroit. With under 90 seconds to go, the Lions try a 54-yard field goal on 4th and 1. Remember Sunday Night Football, week 1? And afterwards, Dan Campbell says, I regret it. I hated it the second we did it. I should have kept the ball in the hands of my offense. He literally said that afterwards. And, of course, it underscores the point when the Lions miss the field goal and Minnesota then has a short field. All right, so I just want you to know, Dan Campbell's already backtracked and said, I never should have tried to kick the field goal. Instead, I should have gone ahead and given the ball back to Jared Goff, back to my offense, allow them to go for it. But Minnesota was already locked in.
Cousins out of the shotgun with no timeouts, trailing 24-21. Takes the snap, straight drop.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
He's going to fire right! Yes! T.J. Osborne! You're so cold-blooded! Touchdown! And the Vikings have taken a 27-24 lead!
And this place has woken up.
Cousins works out of the gun. Madison to his left. Cousins leans in. There's the snap. He's back. Cousins looks, looks, throws. Got a man wide open. Touchdown. KJ Osborne. There was nobody with him. Defensive breakdown for the Lions with 45 seconds to go. And the Vikings have taken the lead.
These are the kind of games where you have to find the inches, and we were able to find them today. We'll have a lot to talk about and coach and take coaching tomorrow, but it's a lot more enjoyable to do that after a win.
You hear from Kirk Cousins there. It was an ugly victory, but a couple of touchdowns for him and 260 yards. So I don't know. I think he deserves a little bit of credit, especially on that go-ahead drive. In the final minute, he has a pair of deep balls to KJ Osborne, as you hear with Paul Allen first on Vikings radio, and then we give you the Dan Miller version on Lions radio. So the go-ahead score comes with 45 seconds to go. Then the Vikings pick off Jared Goff with the interception, 17 seconds left to seal it. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to blame Kirk Cousins for everything, then you probably should give him a little bit of credit when he directs a pair of fourth quarter drives. Again, Dan Campbell says he regrets going for that long field goal, wishes he would have kept the ball in the hands of his offense, and definitely this is one they wish they could have back.
Don't get frazzled by it. Now, I told him it should sting, you know. It shouldn't taste good. I mean, it, you know, because we had that, and I just told him we got to learn from it, man. We got to learn from the plays that bit us in the ass, and that, you know, there's going to be, as you know, I mean, you guys got a job to do, but there'll be a lot of criticism placed on a number of guys, myself including the players, and which is natural. They all know it, and but man, you can't go on the downs and ups. You know, last week it was really good. This week, you know, just stay true to what it is and learn from our mistakes and just. We got to go back to work Wednesday.
Hose over Dan Campbell. All the facial expressions and all the body language, he wears it. He wears every single one of these wins, every single one of these losses all the way through the season. I mean, this is a guy that's going to get old long before his time if he stays in coaching for
long. Don't get frazzled by it.
But I do appreciate that he is all in, and I mean all in, every part of him. It's like the hokey pokey. Put your whole self in. That's Dan Campbell. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Should the Lions be the most mortified on Monday? The poll up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. We're circling back to the top two teams right now in the NFL. I don't know that they're the best teams in the NFL, but they are the only 3-0 teams in the NFL. The Giants can join the Eagles and the Dolphins with a victory on Monday Night Football, so we shall see. But the way that Bills and Dolphins wrapped up is worth dissecting just a little bit. Now, keeping in mind that the Bills were losing players to dehydration, to cramps. There were defections all over the place. It's funny, there's a couple of fans, Bills fans, who kept writing to me about how the Bills had lost six starters, then seven, then 10. Then some guy actually wrote to me and said they lost 12 starters. Oh, okay, did they? They lost 12 starters on offense? Got it. Anyway, it was definitely a war of attrition in South Florida. The heat, the humidity, but the Dolphins were dealing with it too. And so when Tua Tagovailoa comes back in the second half after looking wobbly and leaving and apparently getting cleared from concussion protocol after that, well, it wasn't a hit by Matt Milano. It was a push. He falls backward. His head hits the turf. Both Tua and Mike McDaniel say that this was a back injury. It was not a head injury, which is why he was able to return for the second half, though the NFLPA has launched an investigation to be sure that there isn't any funny business with Tua's noggin. But even when he comes back, there's really nothing working for the Dolphins either until the fourth quarter. This is not six touchdowns and 600 yards of offense like they had against the Baltimore Ravens. This is completely different. Though you can kind of see a little bit of that connection that he has with Jalen Waddle and some of his other receivers. Chase Edmonds is able to get into the end zone for the go-ahead score with his second TD. So it was more about smash mouth. It was more about physical and grind and grit in this game as opposed to what we saw against Baltimore with that rally. But man, Buffalo can play the gritty game all day long, and they did. In the fourth quarter, get this, a 17-play drive that lasted more than 8 minutes, and both teams are so completely gassed as they're out there forever. So the offensive linemen, they're sucking wind. The Bills themselves are just exhausted, and the Dolphins are trying to hang on for dear life. They get all the way deep to the 2-yard line, and I don't know if it was the heat. I don't know if it was the exhaustion. Maybe it was just one bad pass. Josh Allen throws a ball at the feet of Isaiah McKenzie. It was really an uncatchable ball, and that's how the drive ends. 17 plays, 8 minutes and 19 seconds, and no points. Oy. I mean, that's painful in and of itself. But then we get some fun stuff at the end of this game. I don't know, have you heard anything at all about a butt punt? If you haven't, well, you're going to hear about it here on this Monday morning, Monday throughout, any NFL programming you watch or listen to. Oh yeah, butt punt is coming up.
Morstead is in to punt. He's standing just inside the end zone. That's how deep he is. The line of scrimmage isn't even the one. Fourth down, Jamison Crowder, the return man for Buffalo. Bills are out of timeouts. The snap to Morstead. This kick is partially blocked high into the air. The Bills, it'll sail out the back of the end zone. It's a safety. It's a safety. And the Bills had two on the board.
I've never seen a butt punt before, man, but I'm sure... You know, Trent is very smart, you know, like, so for him just to come to the sideline, you know, take ownership and all of that, you know, says exactly, you know, what kind of player he is, you know, so he's going to go into the film room, he's going to correct it, you know, and next time he's going to catch it with his butt cheeks because he got strong butt cheeks.
Leave it to Tyreek Hill to give us TMI about Trent Sherfield, who was the protector in front of Thomas Morstead. But he got too close. He got too deep and close to his punter. And Morstead had no place to kick. So when he kicks the ball, it bounces off the ass of Trent Sherfield.
I've never seen a butt punt before, man.
It was hysterical. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, it's out there on social. It's on our social, After Hours CBS. So it leads to a safety. Who knew? A butt punt in the end zone leads to a safety. Ultimately, Buffalo gets some time and has an opportunity, only trailing by 2.
Second and 20. 18 seconds left. Allen. Oh. He goes down. No, he gets back up and tosses it to McKenzie, who's trying to get to the sideline, has to cut it back in and is tackled in bounds with 7 seconds left. Ingram, the tackle.
They're not going to get this off.
3, 2, 1. It's
they didn't
over.
Get it done.
It's over. Miami wins. 21-19.
Could not get on the ball in time. That's going to do it. How about the effort of the Miami Dolphins defense today? Wow, what a stop.
It was definitely, as I say, gritty and gutty, and the defense, not the offense this week, as the Dolphins remain undefeated. That's the call on Dolphins radio. Before that, Bills radio, John Murphy as well. If you haven't seen it, And I don't mean the butt punt. There's more. There's more delicious video from the end of this game after the Bills run out of time. So Isaiah McKenzie, he's not sure what to do. Should I get out of bounds? Should I get more yards? Should I get to the hash? He actually admits it afterwards. It was really the indecision. So they run out of time as you hear the countdown, and immediately the camera on, is it CBS, goes up to Ken Dorsey, in the offensive coach's box, and he is going ballistic. He's throwing tablets a la Tom Brady. He's throwing papers. He's throwing his headset until someone covertly puts a hand over the camera, and all of a sudden we can't see it anymore. So check that out on Twitter, too. And we're back tonight after Monday Night Football. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.